Rejoicing Him who rules today upon the heavenly throne, where saints their hearts they'll tribute pay and make their homage known.
No earthly king so great as He,
who rules all worlds in majesty.
Good morning, Oscoda and Tawas areas. My name is Scott Busich, and I am the preacher for the Oscoda Church of Christ. I want to thank you for inviting me into your home this day and hope that you will enjoy your time with me as we search the scriptures. You are invited to join us this morning for worship at 5726 Cedar Lake Road at 11 a.m. and then again at 6 p.m. There's also a Bible study on Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. and then another one Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. All of these services are broadcast live on Facebook, and you're welcome to join us there. Just like and follow the Oscoda Church of Christ. As an alternative, you are always welcome to call or text me 989-305-2721 or send me a message on Facebook. Just look up the Oscoda Church of Christ. Join me now in opening our Bibles as we search the scriptures. The book of Hosea focuses on the lack of fidelity of Israel. Remember, the book starts off with Hosea marrying a harlot to show, to represent to Israel what faithlessness looks like to God. Now, that's been the subject all the way through the book, faithlessness. As a part of that faithlessness, God condemned not only idolatry, worshiping other gods, but also seeking military and financial aid from other nations, such as Assyria or Egypt. God had set up Israel to be dependent upon Him and Him only. Of course, they never were. They always sought other gods. They always sought other nations. Turn with me now to the book of Hosea, chapter 13, verse 1. When Ephraim spoke, there was trembling. He was exalted in Israel, but he incurred guilt through Baal and died. And now they sin more and more and make for themselves metal images, idols, skillfully made of their silver, all of them the work of craftsmen. It is said of them, those who offer human sacrifice kiss calves. Therefore they shall be like the morning mist, or like the dew that goes away early, like the chaff that swirls from the threshing floor, or like smoke from a window. But I am the Lord your God from the land of Egypt. You know no God but me, and beside me there is no Savior. It was I who knew you in the wilderness, in the land of drought. But when they had grazed, they became full. They were filled, and their heart was lifted up. Therefore they forgot me. So I am to them like a lion, like a leopard. I will lurk beside the way. I will fall upon them like a bear robbed of her cubs. I will tear open their breast, and there I will devour them like a lion, as a wild beast would rip them open. He destroys you, O Israel, for you are against me, against your helper. Where now is your king to save you in all your cities? Where are all your rulers, those of whom you said, give me a king and princes? I gave you a king in my anger, and I took him away in my wrath. The iniquity of Ephraim is bound up. His sin is kept in store. The pangs of childbirth come for him, but he is an unwise son. For at the right time, he does not present himself at the opening of the womb. Shall I ransom them from the power of Sheol? Shall I redeem them from death? O death, where are your plagues? O Sheol, where is your sting? Compassion is hidden from my eyes. Though he may flourish among his brothers, the east wind, the wind of the Lord, shall come rising from the wilderness, and his fountain shall dry up. His spring shall be parched. It shall strip his treasury of every precious thing. Samaria shall bear her guilt because she has rebelled against her God. They shall fall by the sword. Their little ones shall be dashed in pieces and their pregnant women ripped open. Well, those are some harsh words, especially at the end of that chapter. But even at the end of that chapter, this is coming about because of their lack of fidelity, their lack of faithfulness. They are the ones who have abandoned God. They are the ones who have gone after other gods, after other nations. They have left Him for another. Now, this is not God's doing. God didn't make them do this. This is rather Israel's doing. They were the ones that went after the Baals. They're the ones that created their own gods. And the principle that you reap what you sow comes true in spades here. And of course, remember, you always reap more than what you sowed. Otherwise, you wouldn't sow in the first place. And how to fix this problem, how to make things right. In the middle of this chapter, God has a line. He says, where now is your king to save you in all your cities? Where are your rulers, those of whom you said, give me a king and princes? See, Israel, they knew that they'd messed up. Well, not properly knew. They knew that there was a problem. They just couldn't admit that the problem was them, their fault. They were the ones who had wandered from God. But they had a solution. They proposed a solution to God. They said, give us a king. See, they were busy looking around at all of the other nations, comparing themselves with everybody else. And they knew that they had a problem with their God. But when they looked at all the other nations, all they could see that was different was this. All the other nations have a king. They're doing fine. Therefore, we must have a king. Give us a king. And so they demanded from God a king, thinking that things would be perfect, that a king would fix things for them. But there's a number of problems with kings. And the first problem is this. Kings are humans, just like everybody else. That means sometimes kings, they can make good decisions. But it also means sometimes they can make some bad decisions. And because they are king, there's a bigger problem with just making good and bad decisions as a human. Because with kings, as humans, when they do make good decisions, when they do good things, the population might follow the king. And I stress the word might there. But when these kings, these human kings, when they make bad decisions, when they do bad things, the population usually follows them off into whatever bad behavior they're engaged in. Meaning this, good kings don't necessarily produce more good, but bad kings amplify and encourage the bad of the population. Very rarely, and you can mark it through history, very rarely when there is a bad king, very rarely do the people do good things. Very rarely do they do better than their king. Kings are not the solution. All you have to do is look at all of the various countries, even our own country, and how the rulers of this country, the United States of America, sometimes they do good and sometimes they do bad. The rulers are not the answer to the problem. This is something that our society has yet to learn, even to this day. We still consistently look to our rulers and determine what is good and what is bad based on how our rulers act. What is the real solution? There's another line in this chapter where God gives us the answer. What is the real solution to faithlessness? What is the real solution to idolatry? What is a real solution to all the problems that happen in our society, in our lives, in our country? Listen carefully to what God says. He says, shall I ransom them from the power of Sheol? Shall I redeem them from death? O death, where are your plagues? O Sheol, where is your sting? Compassion is hidden from my eyes. Notice that God, in this answer, it isn't humanity, it isn't us that is going to provide the solution. We don't fix this. This is unfixable by us. Israel, they tried it all. They tried every single solution they could think of except for God. They went after idols, they went after other nations, and those were not the answers. They tried everything, yet they did not try God. And we know everyone from Hosea's day is dead. They all died. Who outlived the people of Hosea's day? God asks the question. He says, shall I ransom them from the power of Sheol? Which human among us can ransom, can buy back from death? That's the definition of ransom, to buy back. Which human being can buy back from the grave another human? Mary Shelley's book, Frankenstein, is an exercise in imagination, in trying to do just that. And of course, I say it's imagination because not only did the story not actually happen, But we still, to this day, we haven't been able to bring somebody back to life. When people die, they stay dead. We cannot fix this. We die. Our loved ones, they die. We have funerals. Our countryside is littered with cemeteries. Aren't you tired of funerals? Don't you hate them? Don't you despise having to go there? Not because of the people that are there, but don't you despise going there because it's your loved one that's in that casket? It's your loved one who has passed away. It's your loved one that you don't get to see any longer. Aren't you tired of that? God's given us the answer. Who is going to ransom us, to buy us back from death? Who's going to redeem us from death? Who's going to get rid of the diseases? Who's going to destroy the sting of death that we may laugh at it? The end of the verse from God is, compassion is hidden from my eyes. Why? And the answer, of course, is because, remember, we're talking about Israel in Hosea's day, and they are faithless. They are faithless. That's God's response to faithlessness. Compassion is hidden from my eyes. How do we fix the idolatry? How do we fix the sin? How do we fix the death? And the answer, of course, is just before that. He's going to ransom. He can ransom them. He can buy them back. But see, they refuse to turn to God. For the faithful among us, Christians, turn with me to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 50. Listen to what Paul writes to Christians. He says this, I tell you this, brethren, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable body must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Paul, in this section and elsewhere, he uses the word sleep as a euphemism for death. Not all Christians will taste death. Why not? Because Christ is coming back. Some of us will still be alive when Jesus comes back. But what he does tell us is this. All Christians will be changed. There's a day coming, a great day coming, when the trumpet will sound and we Christians will be changed. Our mortal bodies will be changed. Dead or alive, we will be changed. Perishable and mortal will become immortal. We will become imperishable. Now, I know many people don't believe this, but look at the evidence. From the time of Hosea to today, to right now, how many dead, really dead people have come back to life with an immortal body? The answer, of course, is only one. Even those who have been raised from the dead, such as Lazarus, four days dead in the tomb in John chapter 11, he was raised from the dead, but he died again. Jesus, however, when he died and rose from the dead, he rose with an immortal body. Well, how do I know that? Well, if you read the gospel accounts, Jesus will invite the apostles to touch his scars. He invites Thomas to put his hand into Jesus' side where the spear went in. And yet he doesn't bleed everywhere. He doesn't leave a flow of blood and water all over. Paul teaches us that our mortal bodies will be likewise changed from mortal to immortality. How? The answer is through the power of God. He ransoms us. He redeems us. He buys us back. Again, how? And the answer is through the blood of Jesus. Look at Galatians chapter 3 in verse 13. Paul writes this, Christ redeemed us. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree, so that in Christ Jesus, the blessings of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. Or talking about ransomed. We turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5, and Paul writes this, "For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, which is the testimony given at the proper time." See, Christ died to redeem everybody. He died to ransom everybody. Everybody can be saved. Everybody can be bought back from death. He died on the cross, not just for Christians. We make that mistake sometimes. He died on the cross for everybody. But Scott, not everybody's saved. That's true. Those who are not saved are those who refuse to let God buy them back. Remember, we started with Hosea talking to Israel, and the problem wasn't on God's side. God was faithful through all of that. He brought them out of the land of Egypt. He established them in the land of Canaan. He built them up as a nation, and they were faithless through all of it. They refused to follow God. Who's at fault here? Answer, humans. The Israelites. In Hosea's day, Israel was doing anything and everything except following God. They were being idolatrous. They were being faithless. They were having problems with authority and worship. There's even a line in that chapter about human sacrifice. How bad can we get? Israel has exemplified it for us. They've shown us all the bad things. Don't do the bad things, right? And they have just reaped the wrath of God. God provided for them, and he provides for us with the answer. What's the answer? Jesus is the answer, isn't he? He's always the answer, right? But remember, Israel tried many different ways to solve this problem that they created. And you hear that today. People will tell you, well, there's many different ways to heaven. Israel tried that. It didn't work for them. There is no other solution. We just read from Paul, there is one mediator between God and man. His name is Jesus Christ. God has given us the solution. The question is, are you willing to accept it? God has offered to us his compassion. Unlike Israel, God has offered to us his son. All we have to do is follow him. His son Jesus has already died on the cross for the express purpose of redeeming us, of ransoming us. We are the ones who have made a mess of our world, of our society, and of our own lives. And Jesus, provided by God, Jesus is the answer to make all those things right. We just have to follow him. We just have to be obedient to him. We just have to follow his laws as opposed to man's laws, as opposed to idolatrous laws, right? As opposed to looking to the other nations, to the other gods, to the other religions. Israel was faithless to God from the beginning of their establishment as a nation under God, and they continued to be faithless to God up to and past the time of Hosea. And they don't exist any longer. Their time is past. They don't get to make choices anymore. They made their choices, as the saying goes, they made their bed, they lay in it, and we buried them because they all died. However, today, you get to make a choice. And I am talking to those of you who profess to be Christians already. I'm not talking about those of you who aren't Christians. I'm talking to you that are Christians. And the question today for those of you who are Christians, will you be faithful today? Because remember, Israel was, they were in a covenant relationship with God, but they refused to acknowledge it. They refused to follow him. I'm talking to covenant Christians. Will you be faithful today, or will you deny Jesus? Will you follow God, or will you follow idols? Will you remember your covenant with Jesus, or will you try to fix your problems with worldly ways? Let me encourage you, Christians, learn from Israel, be faithful to your Lord, to Christ. Now, if you're not a Christian, and of course, I want you to become a Christian just as God wants you to become a Christian, because even if you're not a Christian, if you haven't engaged in that covenant relationship with God, you still have the same problem because you likewise have abrogated, you have broken the laws of God. You've probably engaged in some form of idolatry as well. But this is the wonderful thing about God. The promises of God are great. He redeems, He ransoms, and he gives us eternal life. We're waiting for Christ Jesus to come back. We're looking forward to an immortal body, and that can be yours as well. Now, of course, God calls you to be faithful for the rest of your life. Israel stands as the bad example. Don't do this, right? We Christians are supposed to be the good example, showing the world what faithfulness looks like. Redeemed, ransomed people who are living today. And we look forward to the day when Christ returns. And we want you to look forward to the day when Christ returns. And so I would encourage you, if you're not a Christian, become a Christian today. Put on Christ through baptism. Repent of living the way the world wants you to live. Repent of living the way the rest of the world does things. Stop looking at the world and start looking to God. Be faithful. Be the people that God has called us to be. I hope you've enjoyed our time in the scriptures today. I thank you for joining me. If I can pray for you, set up a personal Bible study, or help you in any way, please let me know. Again, my name is Scott Busich. I preach for the Oscoda Church of Christ at 5726 Cedar Lake Road, just north of the old Kmart in Oscoda. And I invite you to worship with us at 11 o'clock this morning. Or feel free to call or text me. My cell phone number, 989-305-2721. Send me a message on Facebook. Just look up the Oscoda Church of Christ. And as always, may God bless you as you go to worship this day.
Lord, I stand in your presence, broken before you, and my heart's desire is to love and adore you with all of my heart, with all of my soul forever. Lord, I fall at your altar in sweet surrender, and I've never known mercy so tender. It's healing my heart, it's healing my soul forever. I bow down at your feet, I bow down at your feet. Bow down and worship you, Jesus, my Savior, my King. I bow down at your feet, I bow down at your feet. Bow down and worship you, Jesus, my Savior, my King. For I stand in your presence, broken before you, and my heart's desire is to love and adore you with all of my heart, with all of my soul forever. Lord, I fall at your altar in sweet surrender, and I've never known mercy so tender. It's healing my heart, it's healing my soul forever. I bow down at your feet, I bow down at your feet. Bow down and worship you, Jesus, my Savior, my King. I bow down at your feet, I bow down at your feet. Bow down and worship you, Jesus, my Savior, my King. Oh, to see the dawn of the darkest day, Christ on the road to Calvary, tried by sinful men, torn and beaten then, nailed to a cross of wood. Oh, to see the pain written on your face, bearing the awesome weight of sin. Every bitter thought, every evil deed, crowning your blood-stained brow. This the power of the cross. Christ became sin for us. Took the blame, bore the wrath we stand for. forgiven at the cross. Now the daylight flees, now the ground beneath quake as its maker bows his head. Curtain torn in two, dead are raised to life. Finish the victory cry. Oh, to see my name written in the wounds, for through your suffering I am free. Death is crushed to death, life is mine to live, won through your selfless love. This the power of the cross. Son of God, slain for us. What a love, what a cause. We stand forgiven at the cross.